Well, good morning. This is Per Fagren, KBOO News and Public Affairs, and our guest is Dr. Jeff Albert, who is a water resources specialist at the... Jeff, is it a Aquia or a Kaya?
Aquia, you got Aquia. It right.
Okay, that's in San Francisco. And he will be speaking Sunday evening, or afternoon, starts at 4 o'clock to 5:30, and it's at Congregation Shir Tikva and the Bridgeport UCC, and that is located at 621 Northeast 76th Avenue. It's free to the public, and he will be speaking along with Congressman Earl Blumenauer. And the topic will be the politics of water in the Middle East and the developing world. So, Jeff Albert, welcome to KBOO.
Thanks so much, Barry. You know, I should mention also appearing at this event on the podium will be a friend and colleague of mine by the name of Moussa Diabat, who's a Fulbright PhD student at Oregon State in Corvallis.
Oh, okay, that's good.
He's a welcome addition.
Yeah,
he's an Arab Israeli from the Galilee region of Israel, and he's been. He's been working on these issues for a number of years as well, and it'll be a great event.
Well, that's good. A bonus then, because that's not listed here in all the handouts I've got. So okay,
that's right. Yeah, I think he's a recent addition.
What is the current water situation in that area? It's never been real good, but what is it now?
Well, you know, we're coming up now on the fourth year of pretty significant drought. In the Eastern Mediterranean region, you know, the area that includes Palestine, Israel, Jordan, Syria, droughts are actually a lot more common than we realize. It's dangerous to talk about how much water a place typically receives, how much rain a place typically receives, when the average has so much spread around it. If you can imagine a situation in which in the Northwest there's a pretty reliable amount of rain, and the rain occurs during very predictable times of year. In the Middle East, in the Eastern Mediterranean region in particular, the rain falls generally between November and March. There's effectively no rain from during the spring, summer into the late fall, and that rain comes in periodic storms, these frontal systems that kind of barrel across the Mediterranean region, and you can get 20 to 40 to 50% of your annual average rainfall in a couple of events, and literally a couple of rain events, very heavy sustained rain events. And if those storm systems don't reach that region, you can go a whole winter without significant rain, and we're now in the third year of that occurring. But it's not the first drought that this area has experienced in the last 25 years. And it's pretty cyclical, and we're in a tough situation now there.
Well, of course, the thing about the Northwest is that we have our mountains, and they keep the snowpack through the summer.
That's
and
right.
It kind of releases anything similar in there?
It's quite comparable, actually, to what we have here in Southern California. If we don't get those storms that put snowpack in the Sierra Nevada, then we're in real trouble. And as you know, we've had some. It's been pretty dry here lately as well.
The parallels
between the dry American West and the Middle East are quite striking, actually.
Is there any snowpack areas in the Middle East? I mean, there are some mountains, but I don't know if there.
No, there are some mountains. You've got the Lebanon and Anti-Lebanon mountain range, and you've got the Golan Heights, and then you've got the mountains of the West Bank in Palestine. And now there's no snowpack, but what the equivalent in terms of the storage of water is the storage in one major surface water reservoir. That's what we call the Sea of Galilee, known in much of the Arab world as Lake Tiberias.
Is that the same as Lake Kinneret, or is that?
Or the Kinneret is the Hebrew word.
Okay, all right.
And so that's really the only significant surface water reservoir in the region, and it's a part of the Upper Jordan Yarmouk River system. And then you've got water that's stored underground. So these rains, these storm systems that come through recharge aquifers in the mountains and also along the coast. And again, when those storm systems don't occur, those aquifers don't recharge. And when water is extracted from them, those water tables drop, you know, pretty significantly. So yeah, we're in a period of pretty significant water stress in this part of the world.
So where does the water that's not used run off into the sea or what?
There's very little wasted water, as it were. I say that's a loaded term because water that's not extracted for human related purposes, you know, serves an important ecological function. But I'm well aware of that. But what I'll be, you know, talking with you over the remainder of the show about is human use and particular, you know, some of the conflicts over those scarce resources. But the Jordan River system is an internal drainage, so it terminates at the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got rain that falls again in the highlands of northern Israel and over the Golan Heights in southwestern Syria, southern Lebanon. That water flows eventually into the Sea of Galilee, and then it continues in its path along the lower Jordan, forming the boundary between Palestine, the West Bank, Palestine, and Jordan,
mm-hmm.
and eventually reaching the Dead Sea. Now, there's a significant portion of that water is extracted by Israel from the northern part of the lake. Okay, before it begins flowing, before it reaches the lake, and it's pumped. It's basically the water is forced to flow uphill, backwards uphill over the over some highlands and into the Israeli coastal plain. So we can get into sort of the distribution of control over water resources in the region, but the Israelis extract a pretty significant portion of the upper Jordan's flow for their use, and then the Jordanians extract water from the Yarmouk River just before it reaches the lower Jordan for agricultural and municipal purposes in Jordan. So, you know, the losers in all this, unsurprisingly, are the Palestinians of the West Bank. Now, I should also mention that the lower Jordan is on the western side of the West Bank of the lower Jordan. The portion along the river is the Israelis are maintaining as a closed military
right.
zone.
Mm-hmm.
So Palestinian access to that water is quite low. Now the other issue I should mention, just a last kind of nod to ecological issues, is that the Dead Sea, because of all these withdrawals, the water levels in the Dead Sea have actually been dropping quite dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
The Dead Sea is really an incredible natural heritage site, and it's certainly vulnerable right now, both because of human uses and changes in water availability that are resulting from climate, you know, from changes in the climate.
Well, by the time it gets to the Dead Sea, that water is very salty too.
It's very salty. That's true. That's true. And much of the reason that the Dead Sea is the most saline surface water, major surface water source in the world. I mean, you can actually, it's so saline that a human body, will bob like an ice cube
mm-hmm.
On the Dead Sea, is because it's an internal drainage, and
mm-hmm.
so. And it's very, very, very hot, of course, in the Dead Sea Rift, and so there's a lot of evaporation that occurs as water is traveling ultimately to the terminus there. So some of that is naturally occurring salinity, but when you add human withdrawals from the system, it certainly compounds and accelerates the salinity process. But the problem I mentioned before is even more stark than salinization. It's that the water is just not reaching the Dead Sea in volume sufficient to maintain its levels. So
mm-hmm.
it's, so much of it is evaporating that it's dropping rapidly.
Well, I was going to say, is there any way you can sort of store it in reservoirs? But then if you do that, then nothing gets to the Dead Sea, and so that sinks even
That's
more.
Right.
So it's like there's a no-win situation here.
It's a tough situation, and it begs this broader question about, you know, how you balance ecological functions and ecological needs with mm-hmm. respect to freshwater resources with human needs, and in particular in circumstances in which there is such significant tension between different claimants on the scarce shared resources.